can't imagine guys wouldn't want to do that. I mean, how else can it get better?
Yeah.
I mean, the music is going like this every night, man.
Yeah.
Ideas are changing, personalities are changing, the library is changing.
Yeah.
Now, the world is changing, the enhancements, the instruments are changing, the gear is changing. How could they not want to go into an environment nightly?
Mm.
They have a chance to not just experiment on their own, but talk with other guys who are also experimenting at the same time.
Right.
And compare notes, literally.
Yeah.
How could they not want to do that, man? I can't imagine musicians who are so self-contained that he can survive this industry and not go to a set a night, whether it's his or someone else's, and come away with something that hadn't occurred to him. I just can't imagine there's somebody like that, man.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Straight from the voice of the masterful one, also an Open Studio artist. Hello, big up Open Studio.
Yes.
Ron Carter. We can really go deep into what he said, right? But what do you hear? Give me something surface, Bob, when you hear that. When you hear that, what he's talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. He's curious to me. He's curious as to why people aren't more curious and inquisitive and hungry for experimentation and leaning into possibly finding new ways of doing things, because things always change. He mentioned gear is changing, the library is changing, we're changing emotionally, physically, spiritually, whatever, and not to be stagnant and not to be isolating ourselves. So there's a whole thing that we're going to, I think I envision a 5-hour long episode on this where we talk about, where we really dig in, because there's so much into that. But really the focus of this particular episode is titled Trial and Error. And you brought this concept and you brought this clip to the table here today. And we're going to talk about things as far as being, you know, getting out there and experiencing stuff. You can't stay in the practice room, can't isolate, but really finding yourself by being in it,
rest,
not being by yourself. So that's what I hear.
You summed it all up just now, what I heard him say and what this episode is going to be about. I mean, now me coming up with this whole trial and error thing, wanting to speak about it, is actually it's different phases, or it can go in different ways. The subject, you know, matter came to me from not just music, but let's just start with the music. One of this music is that I have had experiences at least a few times, I should say. I'm going to break down just one experience is when I've gone to a university, and I think I might have talked about this before, and had bassists, you know, speaking to them, and I just, you know, threw out a question to them, like, how much are you playing with people? Actually, I say, how much are you playing? I would say something the first. Oh, I'm playing, you know, practicing. Da, 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 da. I'm saying, no, how much are you playing with people, actually, in this conservatory setting? And I remember at least two or three of the bassists said to me something like, oh, I play once, twice a week with some people. And I, frankly, you know, it wasn't a very nice thing to say, but I said, you must not be very good.
Whoa.
And I looked him dead in the eye, you know, just to see what he would say. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, a bass player in a setting like this, where one's people, like-minded, trying to get better, that's not playing on a very consistent basis.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, one wants to play. And actually, I had heard him shortly after, and he could play. My whole thing is that he wasn't actually trying to do the thing that he was there to do, you know?
That's a common thing at university settings.
Study,
I see that a bunch too.
Study was on his mind, and I get it. You had a lot of demanding projects and deadlines that you have to get to, but really and truly, you have to do the do.
Yeah.
And especially as bass players, we have opportunity. So seize the moment constantly. This is what Ron Carter is kind of saying. Seize the moment. Take the liberties that you have, as, you know, whether you're good or bad, to explore, try to figure out things, you know, because, you know, you I mean, I don't know. Help me out,
there's,
Bob.
it goes even further. To me, it's just like, it's almost like if you're only playing and practicing in the practice room, you're being so selfish in the first place. Why are you not sharing your gifts? You're, you know, you have stuff to bring.
No doubt.
No matter what level you're at, you have stuff to bring to the music. Mm-hmm. Whether you think it's good or bad or whatnot, don't put any labels on that. But theory and practice, those are just that.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? You got nothing can replace being on stage.
Right.
Getting that experience, specifically making and learning from mistakes on the bandstand. That's where so much of the beauty is. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a phrase that sometimes creeps in my mind, that beauty is in the brokenness. Beauty is in the brokenness. You think about a mosaic, you know, it comes from like a ceramic pot, beautiful, something like that or whatnot. And it's destroyed, literally, to make new art. Do you know? We make mistakes. And we have to make those mistakes and reorganize and figure out how to balance that in our playing. And there's just, you know, that's the error. I'm jumping ahead to the error portion of a little bit of what we're talking about. But yeah, if you don't get out and have those experiences and understand with other people, kind of more like what Maestro was referring to, hearing what other people are doing to push themselves and experimenting from their front, because you get that whole cauldron, that whole big pot of people adding their ideas and their experiments together. Talk about fertile ground for art. Do you know that's really where it's at?
You know.
And you have you mentioned something too that about athletes, and we have some good analogies between like, you know, different.
I mean, yeah, I'm a big sports fan.
Yeah.
I'm also a foodie. You know.
yep.
I love, you know, great wine. I love great food, but. You know, bring it back to the athlete part. Athletes, they train and they train and they train. But the athletes we really know that we come to cherish have been able to play a lot of games, whether it be on the field, on the ice, on the court. I mean, they've played a lot of games with people, right? And really and truly, you can see 10 say on a basketball court, you can see that you have 10 talented players out there, but there's one or two that stick out in a certain kind of way, because also they know how to rise to the occasion, right? Like the stars are made under the bright lights. That I've heard that saying, you know, stars are made under bright lights because they know how to perform at their best when it counts, you know, when everything's on the line. They've put enough reps in that it comes smooth, silky smooth. And so, I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who have done that also, but haven't put enough time and gained enough confidence to be able to make those big shots or make that goal or to score that field or whatever. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The same thing for me goes back to food when it's food. I've been incredibly privileged to travel the world and experience a lot of food and all this, but I couldn't actually cook myself until recently, actually, till the pandemic. I could make eggs. I could do very simple things. I could survive, right? But I wasn't able to actually emulate any of the dishes that I actually loved, you know, from travel and my food experience. So,
I'm gonna ask what's on everybody's mind really quick. What's the dish? What do you like to make? What are you making? What's your signature Reuben Rogers dish? Because people are curious. I know.
I have a few now. I mean, short ribs. I like to make some.
I'm maple, coming over.
Maybe
okay.
Short ribs
nice.
And
I'll
you
be
know,
right there.
You know, a couple different pastas. But yeah, hey, that's not what we talk about right now. That's not part.
Sorry, sidetrack. My bad.
But to get to that though, it's funny. During the pandemic, I actually took the time to actually get back to the basics, because what I didn't do before was actually the prep side of things. I was afraid to do because I had cut my hand many years ago, and I was like, I don't want to slice that garlic, I don't want to slice that pepper too much with the sharp knife. I know I'll be very tentative, so I always would never do it. What I did during the pandemic was get 4 potatoes, peppers, actually got into the motion, you know, moving your knife, doing all the prep to put the ingredients and everything together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's the most, I realized that was the most important part. But
That's the practice, too.
That's the practice, right? But then I had to actually make the dishes, right?
Yeah, yep.
So what I did was like, yeah, because I had the time, no gigs, hello. I would pull out recipes and just try them. And I became
Did they all turn better. Out great?
No, they didn't all turn out great, you know?
See, that's it right so, there, exactly.
But I tried and tried, and I would try a recipe a couple times till I got it right, you know what I mean? Hmm. And yeah. I knew next time not to add as much salt. Next time maybe use this stock or use this other kind of, vegetable in it, you know? And also I learned what I liked about, you know, certain foods and certain things from just doing it, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
And then to the point where shortly after, a few months in, my daughter was like, what's next? You know, because she started to get excited from, you know, what I was, you know, how I was exploring. So anyway, bringing it back to the music and the bass, it's quite the same, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Going Absolutely. Through those trial and errors, knowing what notes to play, you know, over this chord, know what vibe to play, how organically it comes between, you know, with like-minded musicians or musicians who are maybe not as, you know, as experienced as you or more experienced than you. Just knowing those nuances, how to move through it, comes from doing it a lot.
Mm. Yeah.
Doing it a lot. Right?
And not being scared to mess up.
You must be fearless.
Got to be fearless. Absolutely. And I love, you're talking about like learning the language of cooking or what the athletes need to do so much reps to where they don't even think about it. Like when we speak, we're not thinking about it. We're thinking about higher level, hopefully, conceptions.
Right.
And that's the same with the music, right? We know how to hopefully play all of our scales and keep good time and do the things that maybe get spoon-fed in certain situations, you know, from teachers or say an open studio course or something like that. Hello. You learn some stuff, but just knowing that stuff is not enough to become an artist. Do you know what I mean? You can't just be aware of it. You have to be experiential with it. So we talk about trial and error. Trial is getting your foot, putting one foot in front of the other, actually doing the do, as you said, moving, not being afraid to fall on your face. And hopefully we do, because that's where we learn the most.
Mm.
The errors, they should be embraced. I'm a big fan of that. And I'm blessed to have a lot of errors that pop up in my life to learn from every day. So not in the sense that you want to make mistakes. Do you know what I mean? But in the sense that, or in the fact that many unexpected and beautiful moments, you know, can come about from just letting those things happen, but not beating yourself up about it either. You know, you might make the same mistake like 1,000 times.
Nope.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You'll learn eventually, but you just got to keep doing it. You can't give up. Mm. That's the biggest part for me. And errors also too, mistakes, whatever you want to call them. I think that's putting a name to those type of things. Unintentional actions, perhaps, can also be a way to show us like the way to get better, right? If you don't make mistakes, you're not going to learn what you need to work on. If everything you're in your practice room, if you're playing everything and you're playing everything perfect to your, you know, or playing really safe on the stage all the time, you're not going to grow. No. If you're not playing with people that kick your butt, if you're not playing with people that are making you think or experimenting themselves on stage, then you probably are in a situation where you're going to remain stagnant, you know? And that's what I experienced in the pandemic too. You know, you mentioned that, you know, like being home and with like no gigs. I had conversations, you know, quite a lot with my buddy Montez Coleman. We were coming out of the pandemic and we're like, man, it's hard to get back to playing and really being like, you know, where was this? We had this not on just lock, whatever, but our radar was up better when we were playing more. And then everybody got isolated, AKA being in the shed. Do you know what I mean? It's a very similar type of thing to me.
Yeah.
Getting back into that and just knowing which way to go and to be present and to be ready to pull off that, you know, that pass right in the right moment, or ready to know when to add the particular seasoning that's going to balance out the dish,
and
you know, that you're working on.
That's so important, you know, and this is not to toot my own horn, but it's just fresh for me. But I learned also from the pandemic, like I don't want that. I went a long time without playing people, right? And not thinking about, I mean, obviously, because it was a different time. But in the next month, I have a considerable amount of time off, at least a month that I don't have, that I'm actually not going to be playing with people. And I learned from that time that I'm not going to sit on my butt. I don't have many musicians that live close to me, that I know, I should say, in my town. But there's a couple, and I've already put that thing out there. I was like, let's get together and play. You know what I mean? Because it never stops. That's what I'm trying to say. No matter how much accolades, how much places you've traveled around the world, or how many concerts have you done, or how many albums you play, you got to do it. You got to stay doing it. You got to stay ready, I guess. You know what I mean? And feed that hunger, hopefully, if you have it, you know? So let's raise that flag, especially for bass players. Keep doing it. Keep on doing it. It's all try and error. And, you know, as Buster Williams, you know, says, you must be fearless. You must be fearless to play this music, to play music, to do anything, really.
right.
So anyway.
And it's long term, too. It's a path.
Yes.
You know, like the analogy with the athletes, at some point, an athlete's body is going to stop being able to function at that level.
Yes.
Chefs, I don't think, have that issue. Mm-mm. Like writers, like people that write novels, that they'll keep writing until they're done, whatever that means.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Same with us. I don't intend to retire or stop playing music. I hope I'm playing until the last day I have.
That's funny. You know? Just last night, someone over dinner was saying, oh, they talk about retirement. They started talking about retirement. They looked at me like, what, you think you'll retire? I was like, I'll probably slow down.
Yeah, right?
The pace is going to be slower, but retire? Why?
Exactly. Age like fine wine.
Anyway, with that, I think we will retire this podcast.
Hey, I don't.
This episode, that is. Anyway, hey, Bob.
Freudian slip.
Bob, hey, thanks for coming down this journey with me, as usual. And thank you.
Same to you.
To our UC listeners for hearing us and listening to us vomit all bass and such. And we'll see you on the next one.
Absolutely. Thanks, Upright Citizens. Talk to you soon. Peace.
Peace.